Thank you for tuning into this time's Minnesota ACHE podcast. I am Abraham Duelhoff. I am here with Kaya Ingvi, our president of the ACHE Minnesota chapter. We're just going to have a conversation today. Typically, we're talking about, you know, certain topics. Today, we're just going to get to know Kaya as a person a little bit and see what makes her tick. So in some of our preliminary conversations up to this point, Kaya, I've shared some stories about my background. You shared some story about your background, but I am curious if we can maybe revisit some of those and maybe come up with some new ones. So maybe I'll start. I get asked a lot in my current role, why it is I do what I do the way I do it. And for me, it goes back to, I think I was probably eight or nine. I remember laying in my mom's bed, and this is really kind of an obtuse story. I'll share just a little bit about my background. When I was probably about 8 or 9, I was laying in my mom's bed, and I've always been the type of person who worries about things way too far in advance. And this has always been with me. But I was figuring out, you know, I was so anxious about what I was going to be when I grew up. Because at that point, it was either I wanted to be a fireman or a woodpecker or a motorcycle, because, you know, you're told you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up. But I was realizing I had to do something else. I had to be something, right? And I came down to the conclusion that the only way I was going to be happy was if I was doing something to help other people's lives be better. And that has always stuck with me. And that's been my biggest kind of chief performance indicator of my success is, in my current role, what level of good am I giving to communities, to people, to employees, to employers, and whatnot? So I'm curious, can we start there? What makes you tick professionally, personally, whatever it is you want to share, and how does that bleed into the way that you fill your role as the president of the Minnesota chapter?
You know, I think for me, it always goes back to people, right? And service with. And it's I think I started my career in sort of leadership management as an operations manager in education. And so leadership has always been sort of like a theme, but in service of others, in service of a bigger, broader goal. And when I think about what we're contributing at a professional level, there's that. And then there's also at a personal level. And so how am I using my time outside of work to also give back, contribute, build? And I guess I would say that is sort of the bridge from my professional world to, which is also, it's a professional organization, but also to ACHE. It's a volunteer gig. And it's the thing that I enjoy. It's always the people. It's always the relationships. It's learning about others, meeting them where they're at, and then as a team, trying to move things forward. And so with ACHE, it's a bigger time commitment, of course, than I had originally thought, but we have weekly meetings with our executive leadership team. And what has been so fun about that is it's seeing the people like on a regular basis throughout the year. And then it's in service of a bigger, broader goal, helping sort of advance the profession of healthcare leadership and management.
Has anything surprised you as you sat through those meetings? You've been professionally aligned with ACHE for a while. You've filled some other roles in this chapter specifically, but now that you're sitting with this perspective, as the president of the chapter, what has surprised you as you've sat in those meetings? Maybe interestingly, how you're seeing some of the other drivers of those other folks who are sitting at the tables, or anything else?
I think from a position of, you know, I work for Mayo Clinic. It's a giant organization. It's phenomenal. And I'm nested within the hierarchy. When you're the president, right, you're working with a team, but it's kind of you're the top, you're the person. And so leaning leaning into that and recognizing that while I lead teams very regularly in my day-to-day work, that this felt a bit different because I've never been a president before. And so how do you lead and manage on, but how is it different from my daily workflows, right? What's the thing that makes it different? And I think Simon Sinek talks about the position that you hold, and it's the respect for the position that you hold. It's not about me, Kaya, so much as it is the position in the organization, right? And he has a whole TED talk on that, which I found really interesting. But how it's really not about me so much as it is about the role and the position and the respect for that, and how am I teeing up succession planning, right? How am I helping develop the folks that are coming next for better and even larger impact than what we were able to do when I was in the role? Yeah.
That makes me think about the five levels of leadership. I don't know if you've heard about those or anything.
Remind me, which five are we talking?
I'll just, the top two are the important ones.
Okay, all right.
So level four basically indicates that you as a leader, as a person, have created or have found your way into the system to a point where if you leave, it'd be detrimental to the system.
Mm.
So if that were the case for me, or in your position as the president, if you were to leave, ACHE Minnesota would cease to exist. We'd all be stumbling and trying to figure it out. Fifth level of leadership is if I decide not to come in tomorrow, no one's going to notice. Not that people don't like me.
Right. Yes. But the structures and processes are in place.
Fundamentally, things are set up. So we don't have the system built around resource. We have a system that supports itself,
mm-hmm.
and successful leaders mm-hmm. navigate or direct that system appropriately to ensure the vitality of it in their absence.
Yes.
So it sounds similar to what you're talking about. I think the key to that, as you've indicated, is ensuring that you don't forget that you're not the leader de facto. You're right. Not the leader right. That decides today and tomorrow what happens. But building up people to meet the overall mission, vision, and values of ACHE Minnesota.
Yes.
As the drivers.
Yes, I would say that's exactly it. And we've spent a lot of energy putting into and building out those processes to support people, right? And I think it's like stepping away from your day job and being like, what's going to happen if I'm gone for a week or two, right?
Yeah.
And how do things go? This is I'm in a newer role. I've been here for about a little over a year, and I took a week off, and I was like, all right, let's see what happens. And I think, you know, it was just one of those, like, wow, one of my colleagues, what does he say? Pressure testing. Pressure testing in the system, right? And I mean, it went great. And I think that with ACHE, the leadership team really values boundaries and healthy boundaries between work and personal lives, because there are folks with young kids, and I don't have any kids. I have a cat at home. And so I don't have the pressures, so to speak, the same pressures. And that being said, I want to support those who do, right? And so being able to regularly, we will have people that our leaders can't make the calls or need to adjust the times or whatever, and we're able to accommodate that. And it's something I'm so proud of. And it's also, they also accommodate me. So if I can't make it because I'm dealing with a patient issue at work, I trust that meeting will continue to go on in my absence, and like, they've got it. I'll just follow up with them after, like, where'd we land? What do you need me to do?
Yeah.
Right.
So. And that, I think, is the hardest thing for me about leading sometimes.
Yes.
Is you don't always have teams that you can walk away and expect the house isn't going to burn down while you're gone. But creating teams that not only trust you, but you can trust them, that in your absence, things are going to go well.
Things continue on, right? They got it.
Can we talk about what are some of the things that are your priorities, have been your priorities for the beginning of the year, towards the end, now they're wrapping things up?
With ACG Minnesota in particular. I think our two or threefold. One was, and has been for the last 2 years, trying to elevate the caliber of the conversations that we have at the board level to be more strategic in nature as opposed to operational report outs. Both are important, but we have been trying to just provoke a deeper sort of more critical thought, maybe doing, we've switched our agendas from report outs by functional area. So by mentoring, by EID, by education, so to speak, to deep dives where we focus really on a topic so that we can have a more engaged discussion around, are these the right priorities? How are things going? What are the barriers and how do we remove them? Where do you see growth? So coming up here in November, we're teeing up for a broader discussion, sort of strategic discussion around spending priorities, because we have, one of the things we've done really well is we've maintained a healthy financial position and we are good stewards of our money. And so we haven't actually spent that much. And we've got a finance team led by Alyssa Stevens, who was able to bring on a couple of CFOs to her subcommittee, and their feedback to us has been spent. You've done a nice job, like making sure you have the resources, but now you need to spend some. And so looking to have a dialogue with the board around what those priorities might be and how we can sort of amplify some of the work by further supporting it financially. Whether that's in mentoring or in the educational content, or do we pay speakers, or do we have more networking events, or, you know, the list goes on. I think anything is sort of on the table at this point.
Yeah.
So I guess to answer your question, like that was a big priority. And then getting the Southeast Minnesota LPC up and going was another one. And I think we've done, Lindsay Lehman in particular has done a really nice job kicking things off. I'm here today in Mankato, Minnesota for their kickoff as part of the Southeast Minnesota LPC. So just really great work, but the future, one of the areas of opportunity for us is in succession planning at the board level. We will have, I think, 6 positions of our 18 position board rotate off in the next year. And that's a third of our board. And a good chunk of that is our key sort of operational hubs. And so that's not smart, right? And so how do we build in a different cadence? We're looking at, we kind of are questioning all of the things as things come up for renewal, like our bylaws and term limits, because we're finding that for a lot of people, 3 years is a big commitment. And if we require 3 years prior to a officer track, you know, you're getting into substantial time commitments, which a lot of folks just don't have, right?
Yeah.
We're competing for attention units.
So. Yeah. Let's back up a little bit to LPC. So we're likely going to have listeners in kind of 4 different areas is the way I typically think about it.
Okay.
People who are, you know, long-term ACHE, they've been here for 15, 20, 30 something years.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have the people mid-careerists who've been in their role and or relationship with ACHE, I think typically in the 5 to 15 year range. And then we're going to have people just out of school, just in their first role, maybe their second role. And then we're going to have students and or non-members who are potentially listening. So let's dial it back. Tell us about what is LPC and what does it stand for and why is it important? Particularly in Minnesota, because not all chapters have these.
There are 3 local program councils, the Northern, the Central, and the Southeastern Minnesota one. things have been quiet since COVID, right? We couldn't meet in person. People were working from home. So the reason why we have local program councils is to really drive programming and engagement at a geographically consolidated area, right? So it's easy for folks to get together in southeastern Minnesota or southwestern Minnesota, as opposed to traveling an hour and a half to always come to the Twin Cities, which is where a lot of these events were originally held. So to answer that question, driving programming and engagement locally with networking. And
so each of these three areas is running their own kind of show, and that's what you've talked about today, all reporting up through the main body,
the
main leadership body of the chapter.
Yes, the board of directors, I think, is what we're technically called.
Board of directors. So here we are in October, recording this in October. We're likely looking at, I don't know, a November or December release. I'd like to say November. I'm not sure when, though.
Yeah.
So this could very well be
the end of the year wrap-up.
End of the year wrap-up podcast.
Okay. Well, I think, I don't know, timing-wise, Cadence, but I would say, you know, one of the things I'm looking forward to, which I hope everybody else is also looking forward to, is sort of where we've been, what we've accomplished, right? A look back on 2022, where we've been, and how are we positioned? Where are we positioning to go in 2023? A lot of this has to do with, I think there's good stuff on the way because we're looking to spend, right? So we're looking to do things not on a shoestring as maybe we have previously. We're a little bit more liberal in our spending, or will be. And that conversation is forthcoming. So I think also to look for more networking events, because people really miss that coming out of the pandemic. And I know I miss it. So I'm looking forward to seeing people in person. I mean, even this recording we're doing in person as opposed to over Zoom, which would have maybe been easier. But
no, it's just fine.
I think this is great.
And I think in some ways, my kind of reflections of 2022 have been, this is a year unlike any other, because we just had 2 years that are unlike any other.
Yeah.
This is the first chance that we've had the ability to go back to normal, where there are a lot of people who are very concerned, and understandably so, that the world is forever going to be different, that masks were never going to go away, that all these other protective measures, lockdowns, those things that we were seeing for so long, extensions of the public health emergency, which we'll likely continue to see, but the impact of that on our day-to-day life is reduced significantly. So this has been an awesome opportunity, I think, for the country, not just the chapter, to get back to that sense of what the new normal is going to be. So as you're talking about that springboard to 2023.
Yeah, and I'm thinking wellness, right? We've done the resilience stuff, and now we're moving into like, all right, how do we do this maybe in a little bit gentler way? What edges can we soften? Where can we continue to see growth, but also maybe not be as hardcore as we've been previously? Because people are a little more fragile than they've been.
Yeah. You talked about some vacancies coming up in the board. I am certain that there are people who are listening who are interested in getting more involved. What advice would you have? And think we've got that spectrum of folks who are listening. Some of them may or may not be considering a board role. Maybe they're looking for just local program council participation. What advice would you give those folks who are either on the fence? Do I participate more? Do I not participate more? And then how do you suggest that they go about doing that?
I think we get this question always, and my answer is always the same. What are you interested in? And reach out. And at the very minimum, you have a great conversation with somebody you didn't know. At the max, and I guess that's in the eye of the beholder, right? Like, not everyone's looking to put on events and to be a speaker, right? So I think it's really what you need and what you want and where you want to sort of plug yourself in. We're here as a hub to help. But that being said, there are so many places we can go. If you're interested in communications, we got podcasts. If you're interested in networking events or just putting one on, that's an easy plug. So I guess I would say at the local level, connect with your local program council person who will then put you in touch with whoever their either delegate or designate is, based on your area of interest. And then at the state level, please reach out. And we've got a coordinator at the very, very least, we can get you on the newsletter and you can see what we're doing and assess from there.
So maybe I'll share how I got involved.
Yeah, please.
For those of you who, okay, this is great. I'm energized. I want to do something. One of the ways that you can reach out and get information is you can go to ACHEMN, so that's ACHEMinnesota.org, and then in the top right hand corner there's a contact us button. You can click into there and it'll take you to a link to be able to send an email. That's what I did. I was new to Minnesota. We just moved here from Wisconsin. I was very active in Wisconsin, and I wanted to continue my participation in supporting local chapters. And I reached out and somebody was either unlucky or lucky enough to get my email. And started exactly as Kaya had indicated. What are you interested in? What do you want to do? And I just kind of laid out my background, and there was some opportunity. There were an opportunity to maybe revive the podcast. So absolutely encourage anybody who's interested in participating, reach out that way. There's also members of the chapter, members of the college all over the place.
Yes.
You're probably rubbing shoulders with those people daily, and you may not know about it. Just because they don't have FACHE at the end of their signature doesn't mean that you can't reach out to them.
And if you become a member, you get access to these people, or at least their contact information, yeah, in our local directory. So. Yeah.
So I think we're towards the end.
Mm.
If you've listened to any of the other podcasts, I've asked this question fairly consistently. I had a college professor in my undergrad. He was actually not very well liked. Interestingly enough, he was very much the type of person who challenged people, kind of just to challenge them. And then I realized later that he didn't really care what you thought as a human. He just wanted you to know why you thought the way you thought.
Sounds like a good teacher.
He really was. And the first thing that he said, and I've shared this before, the first thing that he said in class was the whole point of this, you know, quarter long, semester long class was that he wanted us to be prepared for that 5 minutes or whatever duration of time that the world was listening and we'd be prepared to share something that was important. So I'll ask you that question. What if now that you have, you know, 15, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, if you want to go, what is something that you would want the world to know about you, ACHE Minnesota, or anything?
I think I'll go with the anything, maybe piece. I think just it sounds simple, but I think it's hard for a lot of us to do. Sometimes we get tripped into asking what others think and what others perceive as sort of the right move for us personally, for us as individuals personally. And, you know, at some point, like, feedback is helpful, feedback is important, feedback is critical. But I think sometimes there's this line between hearing it too loudly to the exclusion of sort of what you know as an individual to be true and where your sort of guiding path needs to go. And so just the power of listening to your own voice, even when we've been like something, one of my strengths is empathy. So I hear others very, very loudly. And I don't know, is that landing? Yeah, does that make sense? I feel like I need to like back it up or something and like curate that answer or something. No, you're just saying no.
Okay. This is your time.
No, but I feel like it's like this. Because if I think about, I don't know, the it's the right answer thing, right? Like you want, because I'm thinking about like how this is going to come off, right? Like you gotta know yourself, but also take feedback along the way, but don't take that feedback to the exclusion of what you know to be true.
Yeah.
That's probably the most succinct way of saying it, actually.
Yeah. So we have to end with your statement. So I'll say a couple of things that would spur something.
Okay, and great.
We're going to cut most of this.
Great. Thank you.
Peace out.
Yes.
But my general thoughts and feelings are.
Yeah.
The reason organizations have mission, visions, and values is so that when they get to the point where they're having to make hard decisions, they have this ruler by which they can measure their actions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I think you're talking about here too, right?
Yes.
So that we have something
like
that so that we have something that's solid. We have so many things that ebb and flow in our life.
Yes, the gray.
We have to know who we are.
Where our boundaries are. Yeah, yeah.
So that we can build on that. And then make adjustments as appropriate. But I don't know if that spurs anything. I like the idea of this ruler because that's the way my brain thinks.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that spurs anything, if that helps wrap it up.
I feel like it's know yourself, hear others, but also pay attention to how loudly you listen to them. Because at the end of the day, you're accountable for you and it's your life. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. Thank you so much for this time. I think this has been a great conversation and excited to have this be released. This has been a podcast for ACHE Minnesota wrapping up. Thank you.
Thank you.